Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Sunday the 10th of May, morning edition. Okay, so this week's been a bit of a surprise, actually. We have got proper quantum security progress, back-end wisdom that I wish I had learned 3 years ago, and Google quietly making multimodal search feel inevitable. Let me walk you through it. Google shipped something this week that sounds small but is not. The Gemini API can now do file search across PDFs, images, and text in a single request. Multimodal file search. Which means if you are building a RAG system, retrieval augmented generation, where you search your own documents to give an AI model context, you can throw mixed content at it and get results without converting images to text first. The thing that makes this matter is what it removes. You do not need parallel searches anymore. You do not need separate pipelines for different file types. You just send the files and the model figures it out. That is a workflow collapse. And workflow collapses compound. Every time you remove a step, you remove a place where things break, where latency stacks up, where someone has to write glue code. For teams working at scale, this is not significant. It is just useful. The kind of useful that saves 3 hours a week until you realize you have been saving 3 hours a week for 6 months. Worth thinking about if you are building anything retrieval heavy. Now, completely different corner of the tech world, but this one properly surprised me. Scientists just demonstrated quantum key distribution across 120 kilometers of optical fiber. And it stayed stable for over 6 hours without anyone touching it. Let me explain why that matters. Quantum encryption is theoretically unhackable because of physics. If someone intercepts a quantum key, the key changes and you know you have been compromised, that is brilliant. The problem has always been that quantum key distribution is fragile. It works in labs. It works over short distances. But real-world deployments need stability at distance, and they need to run without a technician babysitting the system every 10 minutes. This team used semiconductor quantum dots to generate single photons on demand. They hit one of the highest secure key rates yet for this type of system. And the 6 hour continuous operation without manual adjustment, that is the milestone. That is what makes quantum security deployable. This is not a headline grabbing announcement. It is boring engineering work. But boring engineering work is what turns science fiction into infrastructure. And unhackable encryption at distance is going to matter a lot more in the next 5 years than it did in the last five. Think about that for a second. Then have a look at the link in the show notes if you want the technical breakdown. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. Someone named Meta published a guide this week called The Backend Concepts Nobody Explains Properly. And honestly, this is the one I keep coming back to. Because it is not about frameworks or languages. It is about the 7 backend patterns that tutorials gloss over. And then you hit production and everything falls apart. Here is the list. Idempotency, N+1 queries, database transactions, caching, message queues, rate limiting, and eventual consistency. Each one has a practical consequence that shows up at 3 a.m. when your pager goes off. Idempotency means doing the same operation twice should give the same result as doing it once. That matters because if a user clicks pay twice, or if a network retry happens, you do not want to charge them twice. Payment systems need idempotency, or customers get double charged and you lose trust immediately. N+1 queries are the silent performance killer. Your app works fine with 10 users. Then you hit 100 users and suddenly every page takes 5 seconds to load because you are hitting the database 100 times per request instead of once. It does not break your app. It just makes it slow until it does. The guide does not assume you know ACID properties. It does not lecture you about database theory. It just asks, why do these things matter in the real world? And then it shows you. For junior developers, this is the difference between code that works in your local environment and code that does not collapse under load. For senior developers, it is a checklist to hand your team so they stop making the same mistakes twice. I would love to know what you think. Which of these 7 have bitten you before? Message queues are the one that got me. Twice. Okay, so staying in the backend world for a second. AWS improved Aurora Serverless this week. Version 4 brings 45% faster ramp-up and 30% higher sustained throughput. Now, Aurora Serverless is a database that scales up and down automatically based on demand. You pay for what you use. No fixed capacity, no idle servers sitting around costing money. The improvement matters if your workload is unpredictable. If you have got a product that is quiet most of the time but spikes hard when something goes viral or when a big report runs, the economics depend entirely on how fast the database can scale up and how much throughput it sustains once it is there. 45% faster ramp-up means your users wait less. 30% higher throughput means you can handle more load before you need to scale again. That is not flashy, but it is meaningful. The takeaway? Serverless databases are getting better at the thing they were always supposed to be good at, handling variable load without you thinking about it. If you have been avoiding Aurora serverless because the cold start latency was a deal breaker, it might be time to look again. And while we are talking about infrastructure, Cloudflare shipped something called Dynamic Workflows this week. It is an MIT-licensed library that extends durable execution so your workflow code can vary per tenant or per agent at runtime. Let me explore that. Durable execution means your code survives restarts, crashes, and server failures. If a process gets interrupted, it picks up exactly where it left off. That is useful for long-running workflows, payment processing, order fulfillment, anything that involves multiple steps over time. But most durable execution systems assume every workflow runs the same code. Cloudflare's library lets each tenant or each agent run entirely different code, which means you can build a platform that serves millions of unique workflows without spinning up millions of servers, near zero idle cost. That changes the economics for platforms and multi-tenant systems. It is early days. But the pattern here is platforms moving from "we run the same service for everyone" to "we run custom logic for each customer and it still scales." That is a different game entirely. So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. Three of today's stories are about removing friction. Google collapsed two workflows into one. The backend guide turned implicit knowledge into explicit checklists. Cloudflare made custom workflows economically viable at scale. None of these are breakthroughs. They are just friction removals. And the quantum story is about moving from labs to real deployments. Same pattern. Boring engineering that makes the impossible feel inevitable. The big picture today? The best progress is not always the loudest. Sometimes it is just someone figuring out how to remove the thing that was in the way. Something to think about on the commute. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.